thing. And of course, there can be no answers without questions. And consequently, consider it, if I may suggest, a duty to submit question, comment, observation. 25 years of teaching the Jesuits theology and objections. Our present conference is on the need for the lay apostolate in the modern world. Our principal source for our meditations during the retreat will be the teaching of the Second Vatican Council, a whole document on the lay apostolate. For the first time in the 2,000 years of the Church's history, 21 general councils, for the first time, a general council issued a lengthy, detailed decree on the apostolate of the laity. A Latin title need not be memorized, but it reads Apostolicam Actu Ositatem. In other words, the zealous, active, dare I say activist, apostolate of the laity. There are many reasons for the publication of this historic magisterial document. As we know, the Church's mission from Christ is to proclaim the gospel to all nations. As we believe, the revelation which Christ made objectively closed with the apostolic age, the end of the first century. Objectively, but subjectively, there has been development. Over the 2,000 years of the Church's history, she has been the Church growing in her depth of understanding and the clarity of her perception and the practicality of her understanding what Christ revealed. There has been a phenomenal development of doctrine, as we call it, in understanding more deeply, more clearly than ever before the role of the laity in propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we know already in apostolic times, the laity were very closely associated with the apostles in extending the kingdom of Christ throughout the world. By the end of the first century, there were over 100 dioceses surrounding the Mediterranean, and that would have been absolutely impossible without the intense, dedicated cooperation of the laity. But that was only the beginning. A single letter of St. Paul identifies by name 9 co-workers among the laity, collaborating with him in the intention of the gospel and watch it in the solidification, the stabilizing of the church. After all, it is one thing for the faith to be taught and even accepted. It is something much more for that faith to then take root and grow and propagate. Over the centuries, the Christian faithful have been deeply involved in what the church calls evangelization. Why, we ask ourselves, should the Second Vatican Council have devoted a whole lengthy document exclusively on the lay apostolate? The main reason is the growth in the understanding not only how useful or even how necessary, but how indispensable are the lay faithful for the propagation and stabilization of the mystical body of Christ. The latest code of canon law issued by the present Holy Father on the first Sunday of Advent in 1983. Never before in the Church's history are there more canons, as we call the Church's laws. Never before more canons on the role of the laity in the Catholic Church. That's the first and fundamental reason. The Catholic Church has come to a deeper and clearer understanding of the indispensability of the laity in the evangelization of the gospel. Well, that's only the beginning. Another reason for the, I repeat, indispensability of the laity and the propagation of the faith is the discovery of the modern media of communication. There have been, as I'm sure you know, stages in the development of the communications media over the centuries of human history. The first was the discovery of degrees, the discovery of the alphabet. Except for the alphabet discovered about 2000 B.C., we would not have the sacred scriptures. Then, toward the end of the 15th century, the discovery of what we call printing. There'd be no Protestantism in the world today. Would not exist except for the discovery of print and listen, and for those, the dissenters, 500 years ago, exploiting print, the printed word, And I have to say it. Being more ambitious, shall I say more zealous, than believing Catholics to use the printed media to propagate what we now call Protestantism. As I've said on some occasion before, Pope Paul VI explicitly told this sinner to inspire the Catholics of the United States to use the media of communication to propagate the Catholic faith. Otherwise, said Pope Paul VI, I fear for the survival of the Catholic Church in America. Those words were prophetic. One diocese after another has been hit by a nuclear bomb of dissent. You don't close 62 parishes in less than 2 years in the Archdiocese of Chicago without a reason. You don't close in Detroit 42 parishes in less than 2 years. You don't lose 80,000 religious women closing close to 90% of our Catholic schools in America without a reason. And one reason is that we Catholics are not using these media as Christ's enemies are using the media against the church founded by Christ. In his document on social communications, Inter Mirifica, we are told, and I quote, the Catholic Church was founded by Christ our Lord to bring salvation to all men. She then is obliged to preach the gospel in the same way she believes that her task involves employing the means of social communication to announce the good news of salvation and to teach the whole human race how to use these media properly. The Americans, and I want to stress, the American Catholics are living in a dream world. A few pious words here and there. What are we doing? What are we doing to use these divinely providential means of propagating the gospel of Jesus Christ? We go on. in the modern world, I dare say nothing less than a knowledge explosion has been taking place. We're not talking about titles of books like The Discovery of the Universe, The Research Revolution, The Endless Frontier, to show that more information and deeper insight have been gained in our century than all the previous centuries of human history put together. Needless to say, all the Christian faithful have been affected by this knowledge explosion. And all the while that the world is expanding beyond anything ever known in the history of man, in its accumulation of knowledge, all the while, most Catholics are satisfied with an infantile knowledge of their faith. No wonder, as one Catholic parent after another tells me, we've exhausted ourselves to give our children what we thought was a Catholic education. And where are they now? For the last year, I've been meeting with families in Detroit, mothers and fathers, telling me their children have abandoned the faith. I would not hesitate saying the number of first-generation Catholics who have given up their faith in our country is already in the millions. We know that Christ's teaching remains unchanged. We also believe that Christ wants his gospel to be proclaimed to the whole world. And yet, what a yet, most Catholics, I'm speaking also of those who are prayerful, believing, church-going, sacraments-receiving Catholics. But what are we doing to propagate this faith? I've quoted these figures before. Holy See tells me the annual loss of Hispanic Catholics to the Catholic Church, joining some Protestant sect or cult, the annual loss is 1 million. An intelligent grasp of the function of the Catholic laity and the Church's apostolate depends on our clear understanding of why Christ fell into the church in the first place. Much of the ambiguity about what we used to call Catholic action stems from laziness about the prior question as to why the church exists and why she is necessary. The church is necessary for the salvation of the human race. In the First Vatican Council, which closed in 1870, closed because the revolution in Italy, drove the bishops out of Rome because their very lives were in danger. Among the unfinished business of the First Vatican Council was a formal definition on the necessity of the laity being involved in the propagation of the faith. A century later, the Second Vatican Council declared that the Catholic Church is a universal sacrament of salvation. Hear it. How well I know, how painfully well I know, some of the erroneous ideas propagated by so-called Catholic theologians, including, may God have mercy on his soul, Karl Rahner. You don't teach, as Rahner did, that you don't have to propagate the gospel because no matter what faith a person has, indeed even no faith at all, I'm quoting Rahner verbatim, they're all anonymous Christians. What a dangerous lie. In saying this, at the Second Vatican Council, the Catholic Church is a universal sacrament of salvation. The Council was telling us that every member of the Catholic Church is meant to be a channel of grace to the rest of the world. And that, as we said last night, is the real purpose of making a retreat. It is not only that we ourselves might be more faithful in following Christ, more humble, more chaste, more patient, more charitable. That is only a means to a further and divinely ordained end. We are indeed to go in all the virtues, but why? That we might be more effective channels of God's grace. God, having become man, could have, being God. Absolutely speaking, have not even established a church. He didn't even have to become man. What he wants us, human beings, with a free will, to cooperate with him in the extension of his kingdom here on earth. Hope I will be clear and not misunderstood in saying, as father and mother go, so go the children. As the laity go, so goes the church. Since most members of the Catholic Church belong to the laity, there, change the pronoun, your responsibility to extend the kingdom of Christ has a proportionally high, very high priority. Why? In the 30 years since the Council, why have seminaries in our country dropped by 90%? Why the traumatic breakdown of scores of once strong religious institutes? Is the laity, and as Pope John Paul keeps repeating, the family, their church is only as strong as the laity, and among the laity, only as strong as the family. My plan for the retreat is to go through what I'm calling the Catechism on the Lay Apostolate, to bring out the meaning and need and methodology for you cooperating with Jesus Christ in the extension, solidification and sanctification of Christ's kingdom here on earth. On my way from Detroit yesterday, I stopped for a meeting here in Chicago with the Bishop of the Ukrainian Rite of the Catholic Church. He is the 14th member of the hierarchy that, with God's grace, has agreed to cooperate in the extension of Christ's kingdom here in the United States through the training of the laity to deepen their faith and extend the church through their zeal in our country. Someone must do something to preserve the faith. And not just in our own nation, but throughout the world. We believe as Catholics that the Church founded by Christ can never be without the lay apostolate. Why not? Because every Christian has a vocation to extend the true faith in the minds and hearts. As we said last night, of every person whom God puts into our lives, politically, Russia has been freed from communism. But I know what I'm saying. That liberation will be mainly verbal, unless there are zealous lay Catholics. The last thing you'd expect me to recommend, cooperating with Christ in the restoration of Christianity. And once materialistic communist country. Why can the Church founded by Christ not even survive without the lay apostolate? Because Christ has laid on the consciences of all of us to know our faith, to live our faith, and to share our faith. And needless to say, that also includes suffering and indeed be dying for our faith. Present day circumstances demand from the laity an apostolate that is more broad and more intense, I dare say, than ever before in the history of Christianity. What has happened? Many factors. Now, the least of which is the massive growth in population. Every 2 seconds, 9 babies are born, and 3 people die. The net increase is a growth in world population of 250,000 per day, or 18 million per week. Since 1950, the world population has increased, hear it, and I like to add, and weep. Since 1950, the world population has increased by over 3 billion. But, dear Lord, you are bringing so many, and we thank you, human beings into the world. But you became man, in order to proclaim the truth without which salvation is impossible. To this day, dear Lord, most of the human race has not even heard your name. It cannot be, because you do not want every human mind to learn your truth, and every human will to love you, our God, become man. It can only be, dear Jesus, because we bishops, we priests, we religious, and we lay Catholics have settled down to an easy pleasant, comfortable, soft cushioned way of life. There is a constant progress corresponding with a phenomenal growth in population. A correspondent progress in science and technology, and a shaking of the gaps that have kept people apart. All of this has immensely enlarged the field and the potential of the lay apostolate. How the enemies of Christ are using this science and exploiting this technology. And we comfortably lolling in our armchairs. As though we don't have the obligation to use these very means which God has given us to propagate the faith that others, and how many at the price of their lives, have made it possible for us to share in the riches, the wealth of revealed truth given to us by Jesus Christ. This past week, I was in the Buffalo Diocese. Came in on Tuesday, stayed overnight in Detroit, and took the 11 o'clock flight in the morning here to Chicago. I gave classes and lectures to the Macedonians. Founded in 1218 and founded for Harriet, the redemption of the Christians enslaved by the Muslims. The members of this community still alive, bound themselves under vow to offer their lives to release a Christian held captive by the Muslims. And then expose themselves to martyrdom by teaching those who maybe for years have been under Muslim domination to bring them back to the Catholic faith, which they had been deprived. Indeed, the faith that was stolen from their hearts by the Muslim dictators. I cannot tell you how thrilled I was to speak to these people, just some 40 in the United States, out of 1,000 throughout the world. I told them what I'm sharing with you inspire our Catholic laity today to spend themselves, exhaust themselves, even laying down their lives if need be, to bring back the faith to millions of once professed Catholics in our own country, to ensure that the young Catholics, in marrying their families, know their faith, live their faith, and teach them, inspire them to live heroic lives. Because I've said to some of you by now a dozen or more times, ordinary Catholics in today's world cannot survive, unquote Pope John Paul II. All of this is the marvelous providential opportunity for you, blessed by God with a true faith, in contact with a world that, say a priest or religious, has only remote knowledge of. You are living with these people, among them. In the name of our Lord, ask Him during these days, ask Him, first of all, to enlighten you on, I have to repeat the word, the obligation you have to be apostles of Jesus Christ. And an apostle is a channel of grace to be convinced this is a responsibility and not an option. Ask our Lord to enlighten you on how you can, I have to repeat the verb, because you must propagate the faith that Christ has given to you. Ask our Lord to give you the zeal to understand your faith more deeply, because we can only give others what we ourselves possess. Above all, ask our Lord to inspire your wills. You married men, to inspire your wives and your children to join with you in the extension of Christ's kingdom in a world that is becoming, and surely in our country, increasingly Christless. I may be repeating, but as I've told people over the years, the secret of good teaching is repeating without boring people. In the year 1900, the Catholic population of the whole continent of Africa was less than 500,000. And mainly because